Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As government leaders gather in Egypt for the UN Climate Change Conference, we're taking a look at the dramatic effects of the changing climate. More frequent storms and unusual weather patterns are making access to food more difficult. Take, for instance, Florida, where farming losses are projected to be as high as $1.8 billion in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian. Across the globe, in India, where YR Media's Mukta Dharmapurikar has a family farm, monsoon season brings similar uncertainties. Mukta visited her family this summer, and she has this report.
That was my mom. We're currently standing in front of what used to be a storage shed on my grandfather's farm, except now it's crumbled to pieces. Needless to say, a lot has changed since I last visited my grandparents in Maharashtra, India, in 2019. Two floods and countless droughts later, everything looks different from what I remember. Buildings that once stood multiple stories tall have been reduced to piles of rubble. Washed up trash lines the waterways and wells, each piece leaving a thick trail of sludge as it slowly passes through on the way to its next destination. But there's also a new tension in the air, which I can see in the worry lines streaking across the workers' faces, the cautious flitter of my grandfather's eyes as we near the river. And worst of all, the perfectly good okra sprawled across the grass, discarded by a discouraged farmer coming back from the market. My grandparents have lived in the same house right at the end of the long alley, with the open roof and the splotchy tiled floors and the squeaky outhouses since my mom was 13 years old. They hadn't changed a thing in over 30 years. But when I came back this year, many things were different. The doors on the outhouses had been replaced because of water damage. Shelves and shelves full of papers and books were completely gone. Everything changed when the floods hit. But what exactly happened here? Here's what a farmer living near my grandfather told me. There was one flood in 2019 and one in 2021. The crops were drowned, and the chickens and other farm animals drowned. The problem isn't necessarily the rain itself. It's the way the rain arrives. The monsoon is changing. When I was much younger, I remember feeling giddy when the rains came pouring down for a few days each week, delivering a reprieve from the heat and the mosquitoes, and a perfect opportunity to get a scolding from my mom after running outside to play in the rain and coming back completely drenched. But recently, the rain has started to look different. I talked to a farmer living in a nearby city. Before, our monsoon was perfect. It would start in June, and there would be scattered rainfall throughout June, July, August, and September. It would fall bit by bit. Now, the rain doesn't fall like that. We'll have the same average rainfall, but all within 1 week or 15 days. It's not as scattered throughout. The monsoon has become more irregular and heavier. Studies have found that for every degree Celsius of warming, Indian monsoon rainfalls will likely increase by about 5%. For young people, this is more than just a physical or economic toll. It's a mental one. It's the stress I feel when I see my parents and grandparents huddled in the corner of a room, poring over monsoon reports, trying to predict what will happen next. When I see the water levels in the well rising higher and higher with every passing day. When my grandfather hands me a 100 rupee note as a parting gift, and my mother hastily presses it back into his hands. But this is nothing compared to what the young people who are actually growing up on these farms are facing. The constantly looming worry, the ever-present stress that makes the future something to brace yourself for, rather than something to look forward to. The forced acceptance that nothing is truly in your hands anymore, and the inability to do anything about it. Because of this situation, what are the kids going to do? Why would they keep farming? If this happens every year, then how is it going to be viable? How will they provide for their kids? Nobody wants to do agriculture. Now, I know old folks are always grumbling about how the young people are leaving them behind, escaping the comfort of the culture they were raised in for the enticing glamour of the big city. But this exodus of young people doesn't just weigh down on folks like my grandfather. It harms the entire community. Not only are they losing the backbone of their future economy, but also the caretakers, the teachers, the counselors, those who are both going to support the elders like my grandfather and raise the next generation. The kids leave and go to other towns, so those towns get development. But the development of our town has stalled. If you go a little further from here, there's been a lot of growth. But our kids haven't been educated. These kids have grown up immersed in farming communities. This lifestyle, this profession, has been in their family for generations. And now, for some of them, there's nothing left. But even though times are tough on the farm, there's still a lot they're missing out on. I asked some of the young people what the value is of growing up as a farmer's kid. But to my surprise, my mom jumped in instead. I'll tell you another answer to your question that I've seen firsthand, which is that farmers have such big hearts. Farmers work so hard to raise each crop, but they offer it to you right away without even knowing you. So that comes into the kids' mindset as well. That comes into the upbringing of the family. If you go to any farmer's house, they'll give you lunch, they'll bring you water. Their mindset is very generous. Farmers don't value the money. They value the people. But this sense of community they described, of inviting others into your home, of valuing the people over the profit, it's starting to suffer too. You can even feel the effects of climate change weighing down on the community's culture. When I first started reporting this story, I expected to hear all about how climate change was harming the land and reducing profits, which it is. But I never anticipated the extent to which it could completely unwind the social fabric of a community. My grandfather's community has been farming for generations and generations, developing a deep connection with the land. But now that the land is changing, this ancient culture is changing too. Its customs are changing. Its young people are changing. Their future is changing. And if there's one thing that I came back with, above all, it's that climate change isn't just about economies or plants or profits or farms. It's about people.
That's Mukta Dharmapurikar. Her reporting is part of the podcast Inherited, produced by YR Media, a national network of young journalists and distributed by Critical Frequency.